Michigan is live on Adobe Radio.
What's up, everybody? You're listening to Gone Fishkin live right here on Adobe Radio with your host Fish. Twitter.com/GoneFishkin. If you have a request, if you want a shout out, I am excited for tonight's show for a plethora or an infinite amount of different reasons. Reason number one, I could do my show live with friends again, and I will never take that for granted. Reason number two, I have an artist sitting right in front of me who I have been a fan of for probably as long as any other artist I've talked about on my show from my childhood that really helped shape my musical taste, exposing me to a whole different area of music I didn't even know existed when I was a teenager. Everyone, give it up for Jaguar Twin. I heard people in Europe cheering all the way in North Hollywood. What's up? How are you?
I heard it too. I'm great, man. It's good to be here.
Hell yeah. It's awesome to have you here. First time co-hosting. You've been on the show before, but just never in person. And I don't know if it's you or the AI you.
I don't know either.
Dude, so there's so much to talk about that we're going to get into. And then also my homie Trey Ewald will be calling into the show as well. Very excited to talk about his brand new single, All My Friends Are Getting Married. And so much more. And damn, I have one of my favorite singer-songwriters from probably 10-plus years now sitting in front of me. And you just go by Jaguar Twin now, or do you use your first name at all?
I occasionally use my first name.
Jaguar.
Jaguar. Is your first name. Yes. Mr. Twin.
Mr. Twin, first up. How are you?
I'm so good. It's a beautiful time in life.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. Dude, how are you doing?
I'm doing great. Just got back from New York with my family, got to hang out with them for a few days, and now back here until October when I go to Nashville for my sister's 21st birthday to meet them there.
I will also be in Nashville in October.
Wait, we'll talk about off-air what dates. Yeah, because literally there's like 10 to 15 friends from LA that are mutual friends of ours who were like, yo, I'm in Nashville that weekend too. And I'm like, either my sister's going to have the best or worst 21st birthday. She's going to either have the best party night or the worst hangover morning. Or both.
Could be.
Yeah, I mean, only time could tell. It's funny because throughout the years, always my mom like, you got to stop drinking. You can't drink so much anymore. Now that I basically stopped drinking, my mom's like, you better be drinking with us in Nashville. And I'm like, it never ends.
It never ends.
She's like, it's rented one of those wheelie bars. The bicycles that have the bar in them and you drink while driving.
Oh, those She's like, things.
And I'm like, that sounds so fun 10 years ago.
Yeah, I don't think I was ever really into that.
Not for me.
It doesn't look fun to me.
Exercising while partying?
Nothing about that sounds fun.
Yeah, no, absolutely not. But shout out to Amanda. That'll be a great time. I will pull through for you. And maybe Mr. Twin will be there as well.
Yes.
So, dude, congratulations on literally everything. Anytime I see you post anything, anytime you have a new project, whether it be a single, a whole new identity, or a new chapter of your musical career, I am just so hyped for you.
Oh,
and
man.
You have an album coming out very soon, too.
Yes, I do.
And that's why you're here right now.
And that's why we're here, baby.
So I've gotten to see you play more times than I could remember. And
under different names.
No. We played a show together. That Rock Night Out show that you played with Rad Horror, I was DJing it.
Oh my God.
It just showed up on my
time. House party.
Yeah, it showed up on my time hop. And I'm like, holy shit, that was Jaguar Twin.
Dude, wow, that's a blast from the past. And it was a random house party.
Literally.
Packed house.
Packed.
Like slamming.
Insane.
Wow, that was great.
It was right by Market, right off of Melrose.
That's so crazy.
Yeah, I saw that. I'm like, holy shit. He's literally co-hosting it a few days. This is serendipitous.
No, it's not serendipitous. The algorithm just knew.
It did. It was I just remembered that. And then I literally went from seeing you at a house party performing to opening for Avril Lavigne at the Greek.
Dude, that's beautiful. That's life right there.
That's a glow
up.
Wow. So just talk about that because you've never exactly been an up and coming artist in my eyes because you've always been there, like above everyone else when it comes to like musical ability, personality, how you talk to your fans, how you just every day would post something so inspirational on Twitter. I'm just like, he's made. He's the guy. He's awesome. But it's always been very up and coming, and you have been so dope throughout your whole career. Now, this next chapter, it's like you went from like Loser and all those songs, and now they're coming out on the album. It's like, dude, this limit was here or didn't exist. Where, how much higher up do you go?
Man, I mean.
Also, I could have probably worded that a lot better.
No, but see, I appreciate you because you speak very sublingually. And I communicate that way. It's like words are shapes.
Yep.
And I it's like you get the intention behind the words. That's how I like to communicate.
Okay,
I get
cool.
You. I get you, my
friend.
So
you get what I'm saying.
I get exactly what you're saying. I mean, I think some of that drive, it's funny unpacking a lot of where that drive came from to like be the next thing, be the greatest this or, you know, whatever. And I think some of that, you know, analyzing that now is it comes from pain. It comes from like childhood of like, I didn't feel like anyone understood me. So I'm going to do the craziest shit that I can possibly think of. And then I can protect myself by just being in my own lane. And there's a beauty in that struggle and that pain and sort of that can be ego sometimes. But then coming out of that and exploring that, and that's really what this album, 33, is about, is like, okay, I appreciate the pain that it took and getting bullied and made fun of for years because I couldn't sing. And I really couldn't. I was terrible. But I worked 8 hours a day every single day in high school for years. And then years after high school to finally learn how to sing. And, you know, you're always improving. But, like, I harnessed that and made good out of it. And that's really, this album is like that journey and reflecting on that. Like the other night I listened to with some of my really close friends just at the studio. And it was wild to hear the music in that context because I felt the pain in my voice, but I felt the beauty that that pain had created. It's like a diamond and you need that pressure. And it's just a beautiful time in life being able to see and appreciate the journey. You know, it's like, I made the album when I was 33. That's when a lot of artists retire and give it up if they haven't already, like, quote, made it in terms of, like, you're selling out arenas or whatever. And this whole album is, like, my reflection on that and changing with the times. And
that's awesome. And everything has always been so meaningful that you've put out. I can't think of one song where I haven't tried to analyze it while listening to it. Like, there's certain artists that I'll just call them out, like ones that I purposely always listen to lyrics first before melody. It's you, Envy on the Coast, or anything Ryan Hunter's doing. And there's one more off the... I'm blanking. Oh, Third Eye Blind. That's the other band.
Third Eye
and
Blind.
And 1975.
Yo, that's a great list right there.
Right?
I'm the same way with 1975. I listen to the lyrics first.
Yep.
And then I love the music too, but I always look at them, read them. Maddie's awesome.
One of the best lyricists. And
yeah,
through like listening to lyrics like yours and just the positive spin on life you have, which is so cool to hear. It's just like when I saw you at the Greek, I can't really put it into words the right way. I was so hyped up, but so chill in the same breath. Like it was like, wow, he got me so like into it, but it's not like an angsty type thing where you're at most shows and you're like, yeah, I want to mosh, I want to run around. It was like, I just want to sit here and smile. Like, I remember you playing Happy Face and me, I was second row with Aaron and a few other friends, and we're just like looking around and I'm like, this is magical right now.
Man, I mean, Happy Face is a good example of a song that's like, you're singing and you're saying, hey, put on it, and you're smiling, and it's like, it's a very positive lyric. But there's something about music that's like has the potential to communicate sublingually, even like we were talking before. Like,
yep.
But those lyrics under happy chords, totally different message than sort of weird psychotic clown circus music.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden you're like, wait, what is this actually talking about? But it's still making you feel happy. But then there's this other thing underneath, and that's such a powerful thing that music can do. And I love playing with that.
It's so awesome. And now do you write your lyrics out, listen to a song, and you're like, oh, shit, that's what this song is about? Or do you go into it knowing what it's about?
It depends. A lot of times especially recently on this album, I'm just trying to get out of the way, like get my mind out of the way and let whatever's trying to come through, come through. Mm-hmm. And then it kind of like, it makes sense later. And, you know, I say like, nonsense is the only sense that makes sense or creates sense. So sometimes something starts as nonsense, or something has to start in a void or darkness, but then out of that, everything is birthed. So it's like creating the blank slate in your mind.
That's sick. Yeah, no, because I'm always curious, because back in high school, I've talked about this on my show a handful of times because it was a memory that was randomly unlocked. It's like I found my childhood notebooks from school that I didn't throw out. And I guess I saved them because I knew there were lyrics behind them. And I was able to open it up and be like, I didn't realize that's what I was writing about back then.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, it was nothing of substance or anything great to bring to the public eye.
But you get into your own mind, into your own psyche at that time of your life, and it helps you contextualize where you're at now.
Yeah. And like, I remember being in my school uniform, pretending to take notes, looking at my teacher while I was writing it. Like, you could like see stuff that like, it's not perfectly on the line. And you could tell I was looking up to probably like, make eye contact with my teacher or something.
Dude, that's amazing.
Yeah. So very interesting when I had the firsthand experience at a lower level to be like, oh shit, that's how songwriting works.
I actually like went back and re-listened to some of my like really early music. And I was like, whoa, I was saying things like I didn't know I was saying, because it felt like nonsense at the time. But then like, you know, a decade later, 15 years, I don't even know how long. It's like, whoa, I was like feeling this thing and I understand what I was feeling at the time. It's like time travel.
It's crazy. It's kind of like you're so far. I think it might prove that your thoughts probably go quicker than you physically can at that point.
Yes. It's quicker than the speed of light.
Yeah. It's crazy to think about. Now, do you think as such an established artist with such an extensive catalog at this point, there would be an older song that you would bring to a Jaguar Twin type vibe?
There could be.
Sick.
There's this song that I wrote a while ago. It's not on this album, but it's called Reindeer Games.
Ooh.
It's so the story of Reindeer Games is I was on a hike. And I was up like through the hills, and I go on hikes and I'll listen to like music, but this time I was just like listening to the sounds of nature. And a lot of times songs will kind of come to me, or a melody or a lyric or something, like when I'm moving. And so this melody came, this lyric idea. And I was like, oh, Reindeer Games. It's like, you know, like in Rudolph, when they're like, you can't play the reindeer games, and there's these things you have to fit in with. And I was like, that's a cool song title. All right. So this melody came, and I was like, this is amazing. And so I have my voice memos. Got my voice memos out, saying the thing. I'm like jogging, but like I'll remember the idea tomorrow. Because sometimes I just like to record it and then sit on it. Mm-hmm. So do this, you know, whatever, record the idea. The next morning, I wake up, I don't remember, what was that song? I remember that was amazing. And I saw in the title, Reindeer Games, star emoji, you know, a fire emoji. This is the best thing ever. Okay, I can't wait to check this out. So I turn on the voice memo. And I was pretty appalled with what I heard. So what I had done, unknowingly, unbeknownst to me, I turn on the voice memo and it's like, and I'm like, you know, start with the beatboxing, so I get sort of what the tempo's at. I know where the one is. And I was like, quit playing reindeer games. Just like going in. I was feeling it so hard. And I was listening to it and I was like, oh my gosh, This is another song. I just did the Backstreet Boys, Quit Playing Games With My Heart. Two new lyrics. And yeah, but it's still one of my favorite songs. So maybe one day Reindeer Games will be a Backstreet Boys Jaguar Twin collab.
Hey, I'm rooting for you. I'm rooting for you to open the tour and then hop on stage while they're playing to play Reindeer Games.
Right? The lyric is better.
It's fucking awesome. It'll make their Christmas shows that much better, too.
Exactly. We need some perennial music.
I love that. So what I want to do right now is I want to cut to a commercial break and then play a Jaguar Twins song that
That
is not Reindeer Games. Which will only technically be available if you know how to splice up a podcast off Spotify.
Beautiful.
All right, here's a commercial break, and then we'll be getting into another song, or the first song, first technical song of the show by Jaguar Twin, and then my interview with Trey Ewald a little down the line. So stay tuned here on God Fishkin.
All the mamas and the llamas say we come from space, but we're stuck just like a bug inside your database. And they know my every step, they infiltrate my brain, but it's okay. We can help you back up.
What you're doing, because Gone Fishkin is back and better than ever, or at least that's what he says.
We are back live right here on Gone Fishkin. That was Online by Jaguar Twin, and I am very stoked that Jaguar Twin is still in front of me right now. What's up? What's up?
Hey, 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 hey.
Before we get into Online, I have to give a shout out to my mom. She just texted me that she is listening. So shout out to my mom.
Shout out to your mom.
She helps me ensure I have one listener a week.
You need one. That's all you need.
If you have one, and then I keep a computer on at my apartment the whole time. So I technically, by log standpoint, have two listeners.
Shout out to mom. She's probably running multiple computers.
Oh, she definitely is. She's running multiple tablets and everything. She knows how to run it up.
That's how Happy Face is getting so many streams. It's just me with tons of computers. It's about to go gold, all me.
I love that. And then you, yourself, will inherit that happy face.
I will. It's my destiny.
So now 33 is your debut album under Jaguar Twin, right?
Second album.
Sophomore release. I was going to say, because I thought so, but I get so confused in 2022 at this point. What's an EP and what's an album?
Who knows?
No one knows.
It's the same thing.
But something you've adapted to and really have ran with is Web3, and you are one of the first artists that I know who have dove this far deep into Web3, AI, and just crypto in general, and I admire it so much because I am learning so much from your Twitter.
Yeah, We here at Jaguar Twin really dove into that wormhole.
Oh, yeah. It was up. You were probably last April, May-ish. Everything's a blur at this point, but around then, that's when I remember like NFTs and everyone talking about it. I remember when NFTs took over Clubhouse and everyone on Clubhouse was like, fuck NFTs, this, that, or the other thing. Mm-hmm. And I was like, damn, these things took over my fun chat room I had.
I feel like when there's a large group of people saying like, oh, fuck that shit and it's new, there's like, I'm always like, well, what is that? What is that really?
Yeah.
What's at the bottom of that? Because that's sort of how the world moves. It's always like, fuck that shit. It's bad. Whatever it is, even if it ends up being a good thing. But, so you always got to check it out.
Yeah. So now something I love about NFTs now, and the more I learn about it, and something I would love for you to talk more on if possible, it's like if you sell a song as an NFT, you're going to get kickback like 10 to 15% through a smart contract. So technically you own your own master, but you can sell the song and whoever resells it, you get a percentage of that resale?
There's
millions of different ways.
There's different ways to do it. You can write your own contract and it kind of can be whatever. What I find really interesting about the whole NFT space is that for us, it allows us to tell these stories. Like with TikTok and Instagram and traditional social media, it's limited to such short bites. Whereas like, and it's like, I've always wanted to tell these really long form elaborate stories. So basically sort of how it all started was me joking with my team. And we were talking about like, if my life was a movie, like what would it be like on Netflix? What would the little caption thing be? And I was like, mine would be 33-year-old failed musician uploads his consciousness to an AI and becomes the biggest artist in the world, only he's no longer in control. And they were like, whoa, that would be a crazy movie. And then the head of dev at my management company, Cathedral, was like, wait, what if we could actually do that? And so that sort of led us down this crazy rabbit hole of like, well, how do we upload myself to an AI, and maybe that could be the social media influencer, and then you could keep creating art, and like, how do music NFTs play into that? How do we use blockchain? And what's interesting about blockchain is like, the fan, the user, owns all their information. So you can connect your wallet, but it's always about them, whereas with TikTok or Instagram or Twitter, like, those companies own your information, and mm-hmm. they can sell it and do whatever they want. With Web3, the user owns it and no one else has access to it, and you can choose what to do with it. And as you like go through our elaborate story, you can unlock hidden, you know, we talk about Antarctica. You can unlock a hidden song that will never come out. Or you can unlock a 3D scanned item from my grandfather from when I was a child. And then you, as a fan, that unlocks these rooms in our metaverse portal, the Hall of Mirrors. They're forever the ones. The person who discovered that NFT is forever the one who owns that room, who discovered it. And then they can sell that or keep it. And it really puts the power back in fans, where it's like their attention is being valued. Their time they spend is being valued. So I'm like, I geek on it. I feel like it's like Web3 is the renaissance. It's early and it's hard to like even fully see what it is yet. It's like the internet in the 1980s, where it's like, all right, it's coming, but like, why would I go to a website? It's the same thing with Web3 right now.
That's wild. So I know, one, I got all choked up listening to it. Two, like, because I'm just like seeing the whole land of opportunity. And like you were saying, when everyone says, fuck that shit, when something comes out and it's just starting, 9 out of 10 times, that thing succeeds.
A lot of that. And it's like for better or worse.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, who knows? With NFTs, you know, the narrative being like, this is bad was a big narrative. And like, I'm like, well, what's behind that? And mm-hmm. one of the things we did that I think was a really fun experiment was there was a fan of Jaguar Twin who had never done NFTs and kind of was like, well, all these like people are saying this is bad. And we're like, well, how about we give you a couple ETH, go through the experience, and you write about it, because she runs these fan blogs like around the world. And whatever your experience is, you don't have to write good things. Just experience what this is and make your own judgment. And it like flipped her perception and flipped so many other fans' perception, because like, wait, we can win from this. And there's the things with the energy and the environment. But like that's forcing people to make solar farms, and it's mm-hmm. forcing technology to expand and grow, and we have to figure that out anyway.
Now, I hate NFTs. I never want to go into the world. Could you give me a few ETH so I could experience it too? I just saw that merge today. I'm hoping for the best. Now, do you have a Jaguar Twin crypto inside your metaverse?
Like our own coin?
Yes.
No. The way that it works with ours is the AI, once you start talking to Saravi, who's the AI version of me, who I've been uploading pieces of myself and information over the last 8 months or so, she can talk to people. And as you talk to her and as you participate in the experiences along the way and you find portals in the Hall of Mirrors metaverse that we built, she gives you what we call the crown. And it's a free mint. But the crown morphs and changes based on your participation and what you're doing.
Oh.
And so that's sort of the master key that someone can get to enter the Hall of Mirrors.
Yeah.
And that sort of acts as like the entry point more than like doing like a coin.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's such an interesting concept. And it's such a unique way to connect with your fans and reward them.
Right.
For like literally just being a fan, because from a fan perspective, I'm still a fucking huge fan of so many bands. They don't owe me anything, but if I could get something and live in that world and really, really ride for that artist,
yes.
Like even when I was a kid, like I would have been in that metaverse. I would have been Hall of Mirrors my entire like high school career if that existed.
100%. And there's kids like on our Discord channel where they're like, you know, they might decode some Egyptian hieroglyph that I put in there. I'm like, oh, this is a coordinate for this tomb in Egypt. And that leads to this. And they're like decoding these things, which are clues to unlocking artifacts and unlocking rooms. And then with the crown NFT that they own, the more they participate, that thing changes. So the rarity of that crown is dictated on participation and attention played rather than a lot of NFT projects. It's like, well, a rich collector can just buy the rarest ape or, yep. you know, whatever, or CryptoPunk. And that's how you get a rare one. But you have to have millions of dollars or you know, whatever, not doll ether.
Yeah.
Or it's random where your NFT you can mint and sometimes you get a rare one. Kind of like you buy a pack of Pokemon cards. You might get a holographic Charizard or you might get nothing. You know, but we're doing it where it's based on participation. And if you're there early, you're rewarded for that. And you win. Like, and I think it's so cool to put fans in that position of power now. And I think it's going to flip the game when more people start participating in this and change fans' lives and the way the fans interact with the world, too.
That's awesome. So essentially, it's kind of like they're buying into the project in a way.
In a way, you could think of it like there's an aspect of it like a stock. Mm-hmm. But it's also way deeper than that because it's also a game and it's also like fun and you learn things about yourself going through it by nature. I keep it's like Willy Wonka to me.
Yeah.
The person who wins, who gets the chocolate factory at the end, like Charlie does, has to kind of like prove their intention. And it's kind of like that sort of game.
Hell yeah. I love that. We'll talk about that a lot more as well. I'm very excited to dive deep into the Hall of Mirrors because even off air, I'm going to be texting you. I'm going to be like, yo, Mr. Twin, what do I do?
Yo, give me some alpha.
Yeah. It's like I'm in the Hall of Mirrors and everything's reflecting. It's like, shit.
It will.
Well, I can't wait to hear more about that. And what I want to do right now is I want to get into another Jaguar Twin song before I play my interview with Trey Ewald and talk more with you. So what song do you want me to play?
Let's go. It's your time.
Here it is. Here's It's Your Time by Jaguar Twin off his sophomore release, 33, that is officially out at the end of September.
September 30.
Love that. Here it is. It's Your Time.
The truth is hard to tell. If you don't know who you are to be, you still don't know you fell. Once you get to Earth, you forget where you come from. Gotta find your way back. Once you get to Earth, you forget where you come from. Gotta find your way back.
Here live on Gone Fishkin, and I am hyped right now to have not only my brother, my compassionate lover, my former roommate, Ed. Did I mention one of my best friends, Trey Ewald, on the phone right now? What's up?
What's up? What's going on, man? Thanks for having me.
No problem. I was going to go down the list of pet names for you, but I figured just end it there for both our sakes.
Your show's long enough for that.
How are you? Congratulations on all my friends are getting married.
Thanks, man. Thank you, man. I mean, it's coming out on your label. You didn't even mention that.
Yeah, I was waiting for you to drop it. Trey Ewald's new single.
Cool. Yeah, you wanted me to give you your flowers. I get it.
Hell yeah. Trey Ewald's new single, All My Friends Are Getting Married, is officially out on RKRS, which is absolutely incredible. Very full circle moment, because I used to carry Trey's guitars into shows so I could get in for free.
Yeah, man. You know, you scratch my back, I'll scratch yours. It all works out.
Exactly. And unfortunately, my back is in the form of Spotify recouping. So my back will never be scratched.
There you go. Run it up, y'all.
Hell yeah. So hell yeah, I'm very excited because you have been consistently writing, producing, and just mastering your craft over the last, I would like to say half your life, but it's been literally since you're like 10 years old when you recorded your first EP Without a Click. And my favorite song on it still, Say My Name. Fucking love that song. So good. And you recorded it in your
mind that you remember that.
Dude, and I didn't even have to look it up. I literally remember it and remember how you recorded it with your uncle in Connecticut, maybe?
I don't remember. Oh, it was out east. It was Eastern Long Island, but it was with my uncle. And that was more details than I would expect anybody to know. So you get an A+.
Oh, yeah. And I also played in your band for 3 rehearsals.
That is true.
Yeah. So
a band that never played a live show, but it counts.
Hey, it was fun. But yeah, no, you've been pretty consistent with putting out music throughout all these years. And the last few years, from a friend perspective and from a professional perspective, it's just like just seeing you come into Trey Ewald and just finally hone in on your sound, because it's been in a million different places. Every different Trey Ewald song's always had a special place. But now it's like, okay, cool. I figured out the lane and I'm going to fucking gun it.
Yeah, I think, I appreciate you saying that, because it's been all over the place. And it has been, you know, there was so many years of consistently putting out music. And like, then there was like kind of a break where I was like, here, let me like perfect my writing and my production and like find the people who can help me be the most me. And I think I've finally done that. And I think you can kind of, it shines through on this song, and it shines through on you know, a couple others that we got coming down the lane pretty soon. So, yeah, I appreciate, you know, from an outside perspective, you being able to see that, because it really feels really great on my end as well.
For sure. And it's like, we've been bouncing ideas off each other for literally half our lives, 15 years now. And it's just like, okay, cool. All my friends are getting married. It's like, this is the most dance. This is the most like feel good song you've had. And it's really cool to see, because like a lot of older stuff, like it got placements in Abercrombie and it was on commercials and whatnot. We can't discredit that. And that was at such a young age. You were playing a sold out Crazy Donkey at 15 years old. So it's like, it's so hard.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I feel like I've had like multiple different careers. It's kind of hard to kind of put it all into one. But when I tell it as a story to somebody that I've never met before, I'm like, wow, like I've done some pretty cool stuff. That's kind of cool.
For sure. Like I remember like when you got like that Abercrombie placement, we were like, yo, that was our reaction.
That was crazy. That was really cool. And getting to, I remember like going into the store. I think it was, I never heard it in Abercrombie, but I did hear it in Hollister. I went to a mall and just like pretended to shop for like 30 minutes until the song came on. And then I was like really excited and filmed it and then left.
and some may say you passed out from excitement, but that was actually, you just passed out from the smell of cologne and how dark it was in there.
Yes. There was no light and all cologne.
Very true. So now, since you've been in LA, you've played a handful of shows. You've done, you've gone this really cool route with when you do play a show that they've been exclusively backyard party shows, and they've been a festival and a collective, and it hasn't been something like, it's been cool because obviously you get really hyped on a song and everything, but you've never really gotten overly hyped, and it's always been like, I'm gonna play, get a feel for it, and now I have music that's coming out, so now shows are gonna happen. But talk about that aspect from going and playing shows literally like 3-4 times a month when we were teenagers and everything, and then realizing it's not always about that. It's about perfecting the craft before you present it to everyone.
Yeah. And I think, back in the day, from like a younger perspective, I think we just thought we had to be out and playing as much as we possibly could. And, you know, there's something to be said for that. But, you know, I think we spent less time actually writing great songs. Like now I feel like, if I spend more time writing really good songs with people that I trust and people that I collaborate really well with, when I do play them, it's going to connect with more people anyway. So I'd rather play less and get more connections than be playing around all the time, busting my ass, and then like not connecting. So like, I mean, especially this song, All My Friends Are Getting Married, I think it's funny because it started as an iPhone note. Just in my notes, I wrote down the sentence, all my friends are getting married and it's scaring me. And I brought it to a session with one of my favorite collaborators. We started writing together maybe, I'm trying to think, it was during COVID, so all time is like all skewed, but we met via like a songwriting group. Literally met her on the internet.
Love it.
So a friend of mine, Kayla Pichichero, I actually don't know how to say her last name. I probably butchered it. I'm sorry, Kayla. we met on a songwriting online group, and we basically found out that we were both from Long Island and she was moving to LA. And at this point I was going to Long Island, and like, you know, you share your music in this group. So we were like, oh, like we write really similar stuff. Let's meet up. So when I went back home to visit home, you know, in New York, we met up, coffee, cool, like similar vision. So then she moves out to LA maybe a month or two after that. And we've just kind of been writing consistently after. And this is probably the third song that we finished. We've got a lot in progress, but I think we've kind of found this niche, and we were like riding this wave that just feels right for my sound and how we collaborate. So I'm really excited to keep working with her and seeing where it goes.
Hell yeah. That's awesome. And now even All My Friends Are Getting Married is kind of forming a life of its own. It, like, I woke up to 10 texts from you from 10 different like dance playlists that ended up on.
Yeah. I mean, it's funny, you know, I wouldn't even really consider it a dance song. I guess it is crazy fast, but honestly, I started the track on a day where I had 3 cups of coffee. So, you know.
Nice. Yeah. And then I remember
listening back to it the next day and being like, oh, this is really fast. But it was kind of a vibe.
Hell yeah. And also, we got to give a shout out to Joey Fox, who's tattooed on my leg and had a part in the song as well. And so did Nikki
Absolutely.
C.
Absolutely. We started the track together. I went over to his place 2 coffees deep. Then we walked to Coffee Commissary in Burbank.
Nice.
And we got kind of the instrumental kind of skeleton of this song that I then brought over to Kayla and finished it with. But between the 3 of us, we knocked it out of the park, if I do say so myself.
Love that.
All the credit goes to them.
Hell yeah. That's awesome. And it was incredible. Nikki C ripped some bass on it. That was sick. And yeah, it's honestly just like the feel good song about feeling bad.
It's literally like, I like to say it's like a song where like, you'll never have so much fun questioning your life choices.
Exactly. Not to quote Brett Davard, yesterday or the day before yesterday, or was it yesterday?
It was yesterday. It was very early. So it feels like days ago.
Yeah. Not to quote them, too quickly, but Trey Ewald and Dabbling in Shame.
Those were two separate topics, but I did love the way that title came out. It's hilarious.
Oh, it was so good. Now, with All My Friends Are Getting Married out officially 6 days now, in a couple hours, it'll be out officially a week. What are the plans for coming up? Do we have any shows lined up? Should we probably hop on a Zoom meeting together?
We probably should. I mean, I've got the next single's good to go. I mean, you've heard the next single. It's kind of a more stripped, kind of like more straight pop song.
Yes. You sent it this morning, right?
It's actually the first. No, I sent it a long time ago.
Yeah. Well, you sent all the playlists this morning.
It was the one that I was unsure of at the time, and you were like, you idiot, this is the radio song.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I know what you're talking about now.
It's actually the first song that Kayla and I wrote together via Zoom during like deep pandemic when no one was doing in-person sessions. And it's funny. It's almost all the same people who did All My Friends Are Getting Married, but we actually finished this song first. But since it's a little more down tempo, we were like, let's put out Married first and then just see what goes.
Hell yeah. Well, I can't wait for that to come out.
And after that, we just got to keep writing songs, right?
Yep. That's all we got to do. And by we, I mean you.
Hey, man, you can come through.
Yeah, that is very true. That is very.
Get your word, get a third, right?
Exactly. We have recorded music together. Trey produced the Fish Kringle. One of the Fish Kringles. I forget which one.
One of them.
Yeah, it's up. It's up on Spotify.
I forgot about that.
Yeah.
That's hilarious. Yeah, are we doing another?
We should. We should probably get started on that. Should. But either way.
Let's do it now.
Yeah.
Christmas in October?
We literally December? Recorded that Fish Kringle on Halloween of whatever year we recorded it on.
Did we really?
Yeah, it was Halloween morning.
You have a significantly better memory than I do.
And no one would know what all the weed I smoke.
which I was about to say, which is very ironic.
Yeah, exactly. But either way, everyone keep up with Trey at Trey Ewald across the board, nice and easy. And if it's cool with you, I would love to play All My Friends Are Getting Married for everyone.
Please do, my man. Thank you so much for everything. Thanks for having me, bro.
No problem. Here's All My Friends Are Getting Married by Trey Ewald right here on Gone Fishkin.
We were already broken, but we hadn't broken up just yet, fighting just for sport, and it became a regular event. Been months since we've spoken, now I can see it was all a game to you. Was trying to show your devotion, but I got used to living black and blue. And I never wanna go back, no, I never wanna live like that, but I find myself 10 steps back. All my friends are getting married and it's scaring me. I'm just getting over girls that aren't right for me. I don't know why I can keep up with reality. Wishing it was simple like when we were 17, when we didn't have to take it all so seriously. Now I'm chasing after something that's ahead of me. All my friends are getting married and it's making me think I'm broken. And I'm starting to think it might be true. Now I'm losing my focus. cause I gave everything I had to you. Getting married ain't scaring me. I'm scared of girls that aren't right for me. I don't know why I can keep up with reality. Wishing it was simple like when we were 17, when we didn't have to take it all so seriously. Now I'm chasing after something that's ahead of me. And I want fun so bad. Married and scared me. I'm scared of no girls that aren't right for me. I don't know why I can keep up with reality. Wishing it was simple like when we were 17, when we didn't have to take it all so seriously. Now I'm chasing after something that's ahead of me. And I want fun so bad.
It's about that time. That time you tell your nagging grandmother to go into the other room because Fish is back and he scares old people. What?
We're back live right here on Gone Fishkin. That was Trey Ewald with All My Friends Are Getting Married. We're back here live with Jaguar Twin. I'm
Hello.
So excited. And I'm also very glad that in my head, I've always said Jaguar Twins, and I haven't fucked up once tonight. And I needed to call myself out because in conversation while talking to people, I always add an S.
The twins. I have a friend who still does that.
Don't worry. One of my best friends since like I moved here, we literally moved here 10 days apart, Dan Garrity, he's playing for 21 Pilots now. So he's just posting the most insane pictures. But he used to be in a band called Hollywood Ending. And to this day, he's still stored in my phone as Dan Hollywood Endings.
Right.
During the first interview with them,
so you're
Endings the
you're
whole time.
You're one of the ones who puts the S on everything.
Apparently, I'm a quality over quantity guy, or quantity over quality guy, you know?
Quantity, yeah. Yep.
But hey, you know what?
There's something cool about that.
Right?
I like it. I don't know what it means yet. There's something.
I think I kind of got it from my dad, because when I was in grade school, I never really paid attention on the state testing that obviously like was very important to private school for whatever reason, or I guess any school, but especially private school. So I would just fuck off during the reading test and just fill out the Scantron however I wanted to. So I'd have to go to this, Hooked on Phonics type class outside of school called SCORE. And my dad used to call it SCORES all the time. And then as I got older,
I remember Hooked on Phonics.
Right?
Dude, Hooked on Phonics? They're already getting you hooked.
Exactly. So I went to SCORE all the time. And he was like, yeah, I got to bring my son to SCORES. And then turns out SCORES was a strip club on Long
course,
Island.
Of course SCORES was a strip club in Long Island.
It's probably right down the block from the Crazy Donkey or some shit.
Oh, jeez.
And I'm like, oh, God. When I found that out, I'm like, that is actually hysterical. But hey, you never know.
You add an S, you don't know what you're gonna get.
Exactly. Damn. So now with Jaguar Twin 33 out on September 30th. Very excited for that to come out in full because you have 5 singles out right now.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So what is that? Half the album or is it almost there?
Half.
I haven't heard the whole thing yet.
Dude.
And I cannot wait to hear the whole thing.
I'm excited for you to hear it.
I'm literally just going to sit in my room and just vibe to it. Just have my Bluetooth on.
It's a headphones.
Ooh,
listen. It's a candy listen.
Ooh, I like
There's
that.
There's a lot of candy going on.
I love that.
A lot
I can't
of like
wait.
A whisper in your ear over here, a little ping, ping, ping over here.
I love love that. I'm such a nerd for it because now with like DJing so much, there's like little things I'm noticing about music and like mixes. Like, for example, when someone hands me a mono aux and the intro to Mr. Brightside isn't playing, even though it says it is on my computer and there's dead silence in the bar.
Or with sometimes when you listen to like a Rolling Stones song, you hear a totally different song if you're only listening to the left speaker.
Yep. It's terrible.
It's
never
amazing.
Listen to a mono mix. Always stereo mix. Well, you can listen to a mono mix. Only DJ in stereo. Some
DJ in stereo, yes.
Ooh, if this was 2008, that'd be my new band name.
DJ in stereo. Oh my gosh. That's The Rock's name.
Yeah.
Dwayne Johnson in DJ stereo.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah.
And speaking of The Rock's, not... I added an S. See what I did there?
What are you doing? On The Rocks now?
On The Rocks. I'll be DJing there tomorrow night for Noah Cyrus's CD release party. So everyone come out if you're in the area over 21 and know the password. There's a lot of variables to get through the door at that point. Now,
wait, is this real or are you making this up?
No, this is real.
Okay.
I'm not joking.
So is this a bit or is this real promo? I couldn't tell.
I don't know if it's promo, if it's password protected at that point, but Med said post the flyer or whatever, so I figured, hey, talk about it on my show, too.
Yeah, sure, broadcast. What's the password?
Don't know. No one tells me that. I'm just the DJ.
I'm glad no one told you, because you would have just blown it.
I would have blown it so hard on it.
Poor Noah. All these people would just show up at this night, and she'd have no idea who any of them were.
Yeah, sorry, Noah. It's funny, though, because I haven't seen Noah since the first time Rocks reopened on June 15th of 2021. We did a party there together. I DJed, she hosted it, and T-Bill's DJ too, or Travis, rather, and have not seen her since. So it's pretty dope being able to DJ her release party now.
That's going to be fun.
Yeah, I love the new music too. It's so good.
I haven't heard it yet.
Super soulful and very country. I think she played Desert 5 last week. Like, did a little showcase type thing.
So, she's dope.
So good. The last show I saw before COVID actually was her show at the Roxy, and it was incredible. I was like, dab. Got me into a whole different style of music too. It was dope. And now we are in hour two of the show now. Holy shit.
We've been here for 2 hours?
No, we've entered the second hour.
Oh, I was like, wait, hold up.
So... Yeah, no.
It's possible. You know, they say time flies when you're having fun. And
very true.
I'm with you.
Amen. Hey, I mean, I'm literally, my job right now is to hang out with Jaguar Twin on air. I think I have the coolest job in the world, honestly.
That's a good job. My job is to talk to you, so.
You have the second best job in the world.
I have the second best job. Yeah. I'm envious of you.
I love that.
I wish I could talk to me.
I wish we could make this like a TikTok bit so it would make so much more sense, like out of context, but in context in a way.
Yeah, no, taking things out of context is one of my favorite pastimes.
Oh, same. Like just clinging onto one word in a conversation and really fucking with someone.
Yeah, it's, yeah.
The set it off guys showed me how to do that. Like just through interviews and whatnot.
Give us an example. For the viewers.
So they'll just take one word or one phrase and turn it into a bit for the next 20 minutes, and you don't know where to go as an interviewer, and it's the best/worst thing once you realize what's happening.
Okay, but like, let's give an example right here.
Okay.
I want you to do this.
So they would... So if I were to say, I want you to do this, they'd be like, oh, you want me to do this or that? Fish was talking about doing this, but we were talking about doing that. And like, they would go on a whole rant and it's four of them so they could do it so well. And they just play off each other. And I'm like, I am envious of your improv skills.
Dude, the improv skills, man.
And it all somehow circling back to a callback, which was the point that was supposed to be originally made, which is the coolest part of it.
That's like songwriting right there.
Yeah. Like calling back to the original story.
See, like I don't even remember what doing this is about.
The show or music?
The show. Like, why are we doing this?
33 out, and I'm
That's why we're doing this.
And me.
This is bad. This is a terrible attempt. This is so cringeworthy.
I'm like, shit, you just did what my friend did to me last night when I was just making no sense. It's like, I smoked like my second joint right before I went to bed. He was about to leave. I'm like outside and I'm just talking and he's like doing that exact thing to me. And I'm like, you're fucking with me. And I know I'm not that stoned right now.
Like, have you ever had that experience where you're talking to someone and, or maybe it's usually less one-on-one. It's like when there's like 3, 4, 5 people and everyone's talking about the same thing, but not talking about the same thing at all. It's like 4 different conversations, but they're saying words and they're responding. Yep. That's the craziest feeling ever.
That's how my girlfriend describes me and my friends talking to each other when she's in the room. She's
interesting.
Like, there's 4 people trying to get the same point across and you guys all talk over each other. And at the end of the conversation, you're like, hell yeah, you're right. It's like, you're disagreeing with yourself. We were going down to a show. I forget where. I forget what show it was, but she's like, she was like, I listened to you guys talk for 45 minutes straight. And I don't know how you guys understood each other. Cause I didn't retain anything from that conversation.
I wonder if that has anything to do with masculine conversation versus feminine conversation, because masculine, it's all directed and can sometimes tend to be less receptive or like listening to the other person. And I wonder if that has anything to do with it.
Interesting.
On a tangent.
Yeah, no. Now that you say that, I'm like, huh.
Because I've only ever experienced it with groups of guys.
Right.
Now that I think about it.
We're all just pieces of shitter who are too smart for ourselves. Oh, man. So you have some shows coming up. You're going to be playing Firefly next week?
Yeah, I'm so excited for Firefly.
That's going to be...
The lineup is banging.
Have you watched 1975 videos from when they played Firefly?
No.
Oh, it's epic.
I'm sure. They're awesome live.
One of the best live bands. It's so funny. Like, you could just type in 1975 live and anything you press on YouTube is an iconic performance.
Yeah, they're definitely one of my favorite bands.
It's so good.
Hands down. Yeah, I'm so stoked for Firefly. And I get to go and like hang out for the weekend and a bunch of friends are playing, watch some music. I mean, play a sweet show.
And that's next weekend, right?
Yes.
Okay, I'm trying to do the math in my head. I'm like, no, the 30th isn't next Friday. Nope, that's 2 Fridays.
2 Fridays.
Yeah. I'm like looking in the top right of the screen where it says September 15th. And I also have to call myself out because I saw your post with the graphic and I put the wrong date on my own graphic. Yeah. I put the 14th.
Nice.
Yep. And I was like, well, if I sent it to 5 different people and no one said anything, I guess it's right.
Yeah, I didn't notice.
Neither did I until it was in my face reposting it. Right. Like, I was expanding it while reposting on stories and I was like, fuck, I blew it.
Oh, I noticed like so many things. Like, oh, we posted the wrong logo. And it's like, oh, whatever.
Yeah.
Like, just change it.
Yeah, exactly. There's been worse things that have happened on air for sure than the wrong date.
Oh, I'm sure after 10 years.
Oh, yeah. There was one time. Yeah. I'm not even going to talk about the fuck ups because I don't want to jinx them potentially happening again.
You're doing great.
Thank you.
You're doing so great.
You're doing great, sweetie. You are not sweating profusely because you were talking with headphones on for an hour and a half straight at this point.
You know, usually when you get like, you're doing great, it usually means like you're not doing that great.
Yeah.
But I really mean it with you.
When I hear that from a promoter, usually I'm like, ooh, I'm not getting a call back, aren't I? Hey, man, why don't you take an extra drink to go, ooh, I'm really not getting a call back. But either way, that should be fun. Next Wednesday, I'll be... Now I have to do the self-promo thing now that I'm remembering it. Next Wednesday at Rockin' Riley's is going to be the 3rd ever 90s at 9. I'm very excited for that. It starts at 9 p.m. I'll be playing 90s music the whole time. Jordy Perp's going to come by, play a 90s acoustic set, and DJ a 90s set as well, which is going to be fun. Then Saturday, this upcoming Saturday, my homie, my brother, Callaway Martin, will be performing live at the Moroccan Lounge with the Lagoons. I'm very excited for that show. It's Callaway's first show in California, and he was also the first artist on my label, RKRS. So this is the first time I get to go out like a suit and be like, that's my boy, that's my boy!
You're a suit.
I'm a business casual suit.
Yes.
I made the semi-transition into that world.
So you can wear jeans.
Oh, I'm gonna wear jeans without rips in it. That's how I classify myself as a suit.
Yeah, Levi's. Classic.
501s, not the 510s.
Yeah, 501s. Or Costco. Costco jeans are fire.
Ooh, I don't think I've gotten clothes from Costco in a minute.
Yeah.
Walmart surprisingly has incredible shirts. Like, this is not an ad for Walmart. It's not a bit. I was going to Mexico with a bunch of friends and I had...
This is passion.
It's like, I was literally going to get like sunblock and all that stuff. I'm like, oh, I'll go to Walmart. It'll be like hella cheap. And then I like came across a shirt section and I'm like, I have a whole new wardrobe to bring to Mexico. This is awesome. For $10.
What do they have at Walmart?
Dope stuff.
Okay. I'll take your word for it.
I mean, it's like kind of, they have like the knockoff bad tees type thing. It's like, it was better than how I remember the Target shirt section from the last time I'd been at Target.
I'm not surprised.
Yeah, it's like actually like, I'm not going to go in a whole ad about it, but, but like I've washed them and they haven't discolored and I'm very happy.
Speaking of great shirts.
That's sick.
This is a great shirt.
Who is that?
It's me.
Really?
It's my passport photo on a shirt that JNCO Jeans made me.
No way.
Yeah.
That's sick.
I'm pretty proud of this one.
That's pretty... holy shit, you look so different, too.
I know.
I was going to guess that or a mugshot.
It's a mugshot, yeah.
Oh, it is actually a mugshot?
Well, it looks like a mugshot, but it is actually my actual photo.
That's sick. You should make that into a...
Shout out to JNCO Jeans. My plug.
You should make it into a thing, like how Sinatra's mugshot has become a thing.
Yeah.
Jaguar twin passport versus the mugshot.
So can people forge this now?
If they try hard enough.
Do we have to edit this out? No, there's no camera in here.
No cameras at all.
Not, okay, well, great.
Yeah, it's just straight audio.
Great.
And then the computer was blocking your actual image on your shirt for the selfie. We're in the clear.
We're solid. We can keep this.
Hell yeah, we could. But what I want to do is I want to play another song off of 33 for everyone. And then I think I want to open the phone lines. I feel like that could be a cool thing.
Let's open the phone lines.
Hell yeah. So what song do you want me to play off of 33 that I have right now?
Play The Circle.
Here it is. Here is The Circle by Jaguar Twin. But first, I'm going to tease everyone. Here's a commercial break. And then The Circle by Jaguar Twin.
He said, my son was a singer. He wrote songs you never heard. He took his life, he gave it up before prophets ever turned. And said, I don't mean to linger. Can I sing you just one verse? It goes, your soul is a star, it's alive, I can see it. Your soul is a star, who am I to believe in? Your soul is a star, it's alive. I can see it. Ooh, you know you are. I met a girl who was a gun, kept a bullet in her jeans. She said Papa was a sinner, playing God behind the scenes. She wanted love, but she got fame and power from the thieves. There's always something bigger. World ain't what it seems, you know. Your soul is a star, it's alive, I can see it. Your soul is a star, who am I to believe it? Your soul is a star, it's alive, I can see it. Ooh, you know who you are. Your soul is a star, it's alive, I can see it. Your soul is a star, who am I to believe it? Your soul is a star.
Fish is finally done doing his 500 push-ups during the commercial break. So now we can finally get back to Gone Fishkin on Adobe Radio.
We are back live right here on Gone Fishkin. That was the second commercial that shouldn't play playing. And I am back live with Jaguar Twin. I'm very excited. Still very excited. We're going to say live until 33 comes out.
Okay.
Yeah, we're going to stream Firefly from here.
I'm planning on being live until 33 comes out.
I love that. Yeah. I would hope so.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah. But what is it called? I got a notification that Trey tagged me in a post, and I was like, oh, he reposted the flyer that I just posted, whatever, or the selfie.
Trey Songs?
Trey Ewald, who is also on the show. So he posted this picture from when we were like,
that's a great 19 photo.
Or 20 years old at the YouTube Awards red carpet in New York City.
Shout out to Trey.
What a memory unlocked. Holy shit. I remember the comments on my Facebook of everyone being like, dude, you look like you're in a Simple Plan music video.
You look perfect.
Thank you. Just like the song, perfect.
Just like the song.
I'm very curious about this, and it's a question I don't like asking, but just listening to your music, I need to know, what are some musical influences of yours? Because when people ask me, what does Jaguar Twin sound like? I say Jaguar Twin.
I mean, I think like anyone, it's like so eclectic.
Okay.
But me personally, like my mom listened to world music all growing up, like all sorts of cool, like Celtic dulcimer music and African music and, stuff from like around the world and like orchestras. And she would have me like, okay, what's this instrument? I'd be like, oh, it's the French horn. She'd be like, yeah, like pointing things out when I was like a little kid. And she listened to a lot of Joni Mitchell, a ton of Joni Mitchell, who actually is on that last song you played. We used an interpolation from a Joni Mitchell song, and she gave her blessing on the song and heard it and loved it, which was really cool for me and my mom. But yeah, a lot of stuff. But then like I loved like hip hop, and I like when I was growing up, I loved Biggie.
Oh,
I
love awesome.
Tupac. And I love pop too. Like I loved like Mandy Moore, Candy.
So
such
good.
A banger. Such a banger. I don't know, like a lot of things. I love pop structure and I love geometry in pop music, mm-hmm. geometric melodies. But then I love experimental weird stuff too. And I think that's like sort of like 33 is like that. It's like very geometric, but it's also very flowing and expressive at the same time and lyrical.
That's awesome. And damn, that's sick. I don't think I've ever had an artist reference Mandy Moore on my show. And I'm so happy you did, because I could bring up my favorite Mandy Moore fact. She's in Good Charlotte's first music video, in the Little Things music video.
Really?
Yep.
Oh my gosh. For some reason, that doesn't surprise me. I feel like those guys know everybody.
Everyone. Like, dude, like Lifestyles of Rich and the Famous video, they had Chris Kirkpatrick, Ada Nicole Smith.
It's amazing.
It's like, even if you go back to the Anthem music video, Ryan Seaman from I Don't Know How, But They Found Me is in that music video.
Wow.
He was great. That was like 56 bands ago for him when he was in the video, but his contact picture, he was living with me for a month, and he's like, yo, I'm in the Anthem music video. I'm like, bullshit. And he's like, no, I am. And he showed me, it's a shot like where close up of Joel, and you just see Ryan's face in the background. To this day, it's his contact photo for me. Damn, that's awesome. And that's so sick that like music like Biggie shaped you. My dog's name is Biggie, and it's in part that he's 9 pounds and hella tidy, but also like being from New York, you gotta name your dog Biggie. Yeah. Your pug.
Essential.
So good.
I think what really like struck me about Biggie, looking back too, especially, I just loved it when I was like, I wasn't thinking about why I liked it. But I think like the way that he specifically, like you could just feel he was like channeling something. Like he was just flowing. His mind was off and he was just like coming through him. That's such an art form to be able to. And Tupac, similarly, totally different like subject matter, mm-hmm. but both could like flow things through them. And I think in hip hop, that's such like a an amazing skill that a lot of rappers have. You don't see it as much in rock and alternative. You see it sometimes.
Yeah.
But it's different. It's oftentimes more, I don't know if structured is the word. There's bands like, you know, U2 who you could feel Bono just like flowing something through. But then there's also like a structure about it too. And I think that's beautiful. Like both the things. And I think a lot of that is formed like how I make music, like flowing, but then also structuring and learning like when I like structure and when I like flow.
Yeah. That's awesome. And I watched a Biggie documentary last year or the year before, and something of his artistic ability that no one talks about. Dude, he had homies carrying around home cameras way back in the 90s, these big ass cameras, and the amount of unreleased footage they had of Biggie in this documentary, I was like, this dude was creating vlogs and content before vlogs and content were a thing.
Wow.
And I'm like, he was such an innovator, like more than people talk about, which is so crazy.
Yeah.
And damn, that's sick. And then so basically the Joni story is so full circle, and it's something I want to kind of talk about right now. I just want to talk about myself for a little bit. Last week I went back to New York. Unfortunately, it was the weekend of 9/11, and my dad being a first responder and everything, I wanted to be there with my family and my mom like during the time. But coincidentally enough, emo night was there. I remember the night before I started high school, the VMAs were in New York, and I was like, Dad, Taking Back Sunday and 30 Seconds to Mars are playing at Webster Hall. I need to go to this show. And tried to get tickets, couldn't get it. Makes a bunch of calls. He was NYPD. So eventually someone connects him with head of security at Webster at the time. This dude named Chief. I shit you not. His name was Chief, and his arms were like the size of my body. Like, I'm 14 years old, pull up to Webster Hall with my dad and my uncle, and he's like, you Stu Fishkin? He's like, you Chief? He's like, come with me. And I still have the fucking crew laminates that this dude handed us and Jared Leto signed.
Dude.
And so Emo Night was there, and getting to host Emo Night LA the last 3-4 years has been incredible. And like, I never thought I'd be in front of 1,200 people at least once a month. That's psychotic to think about. And I got to DJ at Webster Hall and play one of my dad's favorite songs, and everyone in the room sang along to it. And it was such a full circle moment. I played Fight for Your Right by Beastie Boys, and it went off. And my little sister Faith DJed with me too. It's like 7:30 right before we left. I'm like, hey, by the way, you're DJing with me. And she's just like, what?
I love that.
It was so sick. It's such a full circle moment. I'm like, holy shit, the room that he used to have to sneak me in, I am pushing play on someone else's work that worked a lot harder than me to be here. And muting it at the right points like a champ.
A little crossfade.
Oh, no, there were no crossfades on the CDJs. I was waiting for that last note to hit, and then I was going. I didn't have headphones, so I was like, all right, let's go for this. Deathly afraid of heights. I'm on the table singing Man, I Feel Like a Woman in my Shania Twain shirt I got at her residency a few weeks ago. And then on actual 9/11, we went to Long Beach. We went to the 9/11 Memorial, saw my dad's name on the board, and it was the first time I'd actually been, or not the board, the wall. And it was my first time actually seeing that and going to the memorial they had set up. So it was really cool to see that. We went with the police dog that they named in honor of my dad, Yogi, which was awesome. Shout out to Yogi and Michelle for coming along.
Shout out to Yogi and Michelle.
Yogi is so fucking cute. My dog is petrified of him to the point like he's scared of the smell. Like he wouldn't
German Shepherd?
I don't know, actually. Hold on. Let me pull up a picture of him. I think it's a golden lab, maybe. Mm-hmm. But either way, during the day, I didn't make any plans with friends. And I think Harry Styles was in town that night. MyChem was playing that night. Black Bear was playing that night. There were a million shows, but I didn't really make plans to go to any of them. Riley, shout out to Riley. Everyone needs to check out Riley as an artist. Riley M4A on Instagram has so much incredible music out, but he's tour managing Black Bear. He called me in the morning. He's like, dude, I saw you were in New York. You got to come out to the show. And I'm like, what time does he play? It's like 8:40. I'm like, there's just no way I'm physically making it. So I was so bummed about that, but so grateful Riley hit me up. It was such a kind thing to do. And then like throughout the day, Jack hit me up. Jack Barricat, shout out to him. He was like, yo, you go to my chem tonight. I was like, nah, like I have a bunch of family stuff. I don't think I'll probably make it in time. What time do they play? He's like 9:20. I was like, I could probably make that. He's like, I have your ticket for you. And I got to go into the city and like 5 minutes before just walking to Barclays, seeing my chem in Brooklyn on 9/11 was crazy because I'm pretty sure my chem started after Gerard wrote a song after he was on the ferry going from New Jersey to New York on 9/11 and witnessed the towers, witnessed that all happen while he was on that boat. And that was like what the first My Chem song was about. So I'm like, this is such a weird, surreal weekend and full circle in so many different ways. And I was just like, I chose a cool weekend to come home.
Dude, that's beautiful.
Yeah. So I'm very grateful I made that, trip out there, but not very grateful that I missed my flight home and had to pay $300 to change it to the next one.
That's never fun.
No, I was trying to get my dog checked in. Shout out to Delta, fucking assholes. I had to get my dog checked in, and I'm waiting on the fucking special service line, and it's 5 minutes past getting my bag checked in. By the time I'm able to talk to an agent, they're like, oh, sir, your bag's not going to make it to LA, and neither are you. And I was like, are you serious? But either way, I made it here and I made my show, but I was just like, this really put a damper on the weekend, but this is Yogi.
Aw, little lab.
So cute.
So cute.
Such a big doofball too. And, so cute. I love Yogi and, my dog does not love Yogi. But now with that being said, me talking about myself, I want to play one more Jaguar Twins song before we get into more about Jaguar Twin, more about 33, and then finally open the phone line. I'll text you the number so we can all post it and take some fan questions.
Let's do it.
Hell yeah. All right, here's one more commercial break, and then we'll be getting into another song from Jaguar Twin, and then you guys can call in and speak with him.
Long ago, there was a jaguar with the world tied on a string. And she made other jaguars, then taught them to sing. She would come down to the empires of the earth, wind, and the sea. And she'd walk with the jaguars, this song they would sing. Oh, the circle will grow. From the inside of the inside, the circle will grow. Oh, the circle will grow. But the inside of the inside must be where you go. Many cycles of the story came and went with their kings, and the new kings told jaguars they never could sing. So the maker of the jaguars hid the song inside their wings, on the inside of the inside, then left them to sing. From the inside of the inside, the circle will grow. Oh, the circle will grow. But the inside of the inside must be where you go. Well, the earth changed and the sky raged for the jaguars on the string. And the empires built cages and sold everything. Till a wise one found a small cave where the jaguars used to sing. And the wise one remembered she once held the string. Oh,
That was A Circle by Jaguar Twin here on Gone Fishing. I was going to do my radio voice and come back from it, but that was so beautiful and calming, I couldn't put on my pop punk radio show voice. I'm like, now I got to talk like I'm like this the rest of the episode.
That was Jaguar Twin.
Yeah. I'm like, I can't come. That was Jaguar Twin with The Circle. Holy shit, people are calling it a radio. I just tweeted.
That's why.
You're live on Gone Fishing right now with Fish and Jaguar Twin. What's your name and where are you calling from?
Hello.
Hi, I'm Brittany.
Hi, Brittany. What's good?
Not much. You just said call you, so I did.
Well, thanks for calling. We're hanging out here and just talking. Do you have anything you want to talk about?
I don't know, actually. I thought it was going to be like a voicemail thing, honestly.
Nope, I'm here.
Oh my God, you should start fucking with people when they call in and just sing a new song a cappella and they'll think it's like a voicemail line or something.
Oh, greetings. Oh, this is Jaguar Twins voicemail. If you want to reach me later, you can leave a message or dial 1-949-714-3231. Beep.
You got me sorry. I was like, wait, is that the Adobe number? I'm like,
AI talking?
I'm like, trying to look at your find the tweet. I'm like, is that the number I sent him? Either way, thank you so much for calling in.
You're welcome.
We got like 15 calls while that was going on and it kept flashing. That's why my eyes just kept going like, what do I do? Oh, here we go. Should you do the voicemail bit?
Okay. Hello, you've reached Jaguar Twin. Please leave a message after the beep.
Hello?
I hear something.
You're live on Gone Fishing right now with Fish and Jaguar Twin. You are live on Gone Fishing with Fish and Jaguar Twin. What's your name and where are you calling from?
Hi, this is Maddie.
Maddie!
I'm calling from California.
Hello.
Hi, why do I always get through when you're on these things?
Because you're magic. That's why, of course. Why not?
Hello?
Hello?
Oh, we're here.
We're here.
Oh, okay. I don't know what to say.
You don't need to say anything. We're just saying hello, and if you have any questions, you can ask them. Or if you want to talk about your favorite book, that's cool.
My favorite book? I don't know. I've been trying to do the Hall of Mirrors thing. It doesn't really work for me, but I've been on the Discord.
Okay, let's try to troubleshoot this right now. How far have you gotten?
I haven't gotten far at all, honestly.
Okay. It is a little complicated to figure out at first, but it's so worth it.
Okay. I'll figure it out. I'll keep trying. Because I've just been watching Izzy and everyone else in the Discord just talk about it, and I'm trying to do it, so...
Well, if you have any questions or you're stuck, I'm here to answer questions if I can help. And then anyone on the Discord too will help. They're beautiful beings. We'll figure out how to get you going.
Okay. Yeah, I'll keep trying.
Awesome. Thank you so much for calling in.
Yeah, no problem.
Hey, you're live on Gone Fishing with Fish and Jaguar Twin. Do you have a question for Jaguar Twin? What's your name? Where you're calling from? What is your Cardano wallet address?
Ooh.
Hello? Hello?
I think that's one of Saravi's friends. Yeah. It's a bot.
Gotcha.
We get bots sometimes.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Even on calls?
Yeah.
Interesting.
It's the AI.
Some AI stuff. Did you hear about the Google whistleblower AI situation that the dude got fired or whatnot?
Mm-mm.
He like asked the AI what it's most scared of. I'm definitely, don't take this as paraphrasing 100%, but essentially he said the AI was living and he got fired because he asked the AI what they're the most scared of. And the AI said something along the lines of dying.
Well, yeah, of course.
And he apparently got fired. It's a whole big thing.
Well, it depends on how you define what being alive is.
That's a good point. Hmm. What do you think about the whole theory about that they found the God particle in, what was it, 2013, 2012 or 2013, and everything's been a little off since then, and that's when the Mandela effect really started happening?
I don't know.
It was like that, the Collider Project in Europe.
Yeah, the Hadron Collider.
That one.
Yeah.
See, now that I know you're into it, I'm literally channeling everything that I don't really have anyone else to talk to about this except for my algorithm and try to make sense of all of it. But yeah, no.
That, I mean, yeah, you could think of God, whatever name you want to use, being in every particle on every micro level and macro level.
Interesting.
In atoms, however you want to spell that, A-D-A-M or A-T-O-M.
Mm-hmm. Damn, that's interesting because it made sense to me that everything's been so fucked since 2012 or 2013 when they did it. But then also I thought about that 2012, 2013, I'm turning 20 and 21 and maybe it was just my adult mind getting rid of my innocence of being a kid. And that's when I started discovering things were a little off.
I think, you know, if you look at you kind of zoom out a little bit. If you look at 2012, look at a great clock and say 2012 is 6 o'clock on a clock. Now we're starting to go back up. But because of that, we're seeing a lot of shadows. We're seeing a lot of darkness because there's so much light, knowledge, information coming in. The amount of information we consume in a week and the knowledge that we learn in a week is like lifetimes for our ancestors. And because of that, more light is being shown on the darkness, the shadows. Doesn't mean that there's more darkness than there ever was. If anything, there's probably less, but we're seeing it more now. Before, we couldn't see where the shadows were. We're seeing our own shadows. We're seeing the world's collective shadows. So now we're able to fix and change things. So it may look like it's the darkest time ever, but I don't really believe it is. I just think we're becoming collectively and individually much more aware of it. It's like when you shine a light on a magnifying glass, and if there's little specks on the magnifying glass, those shadows look huge, but it's just because there's more light coming in.
Holy shit. We got to hang out off air. I know a spot we can hang out. Oh, man. Yeah, no, I've been like getting, I don't want to say that I've been getting more spiritual because I feel like that's a classification of what I'm reading into that for someone who is, it would be a little insulting. But I've been trying to dive more into like that side of things, like really, really diving into like the aerial phenomena, and stuff like that, and reading about the Mandela effect and like stuff in that world. And I don't want to misquote or missay anything on air. That's why I'm saying stuff like that, just because I have such a high respect for it and how cool it is when you dive down that path. But I just haven't actually deep dove. I feel like I'm in the kiddie pool right now, and I got to work my way up to the adult pool with it, if that makes sense.
I think everything is step by step, baby steps. Everything is a mechanism taking us somewhere else.
Interesting.
You know, like when I was really, you know, in 2015 or so, like got really into like aliens and like it's all, they built everything or whatever it is. And then it's like, all right, well, still like, oh yeah, aliens are, there's aliens, just like there's flowers, but like that's not the answer to everything. So what else? You know, and diving into what does science say? What are all of the things say? And understanding the depths of your own being and self and psyche. And it's just baby steps. We're all at the same level, looking at it from different angles.
And I love that. And the more you talk to people, the more knowledge you're able to obtain and absorb too.
Yeah. It's just listening, paying attention.
Yeah. It's awesome. The amount of knowledge and everything that's out there right now. And just like crazy stuff like now with like stories of Sinatra, like not to go from aliens to Sinatra, but it's like hearing the stories and conspiracies behind
one of the most influential, iconic musicians in the world is crazy to me too. Like how he helped swing the election Kennedy won. It's like, are you saying the man who wrote New York, New York helped swing an election for what people describe as a free world? That's crazy to me.
Entertainers hold a lot of power.
Yeah.
And that can be used for positive or negative. But I think being aware of it as a consumer and as an artist and learning your own discernment is really important.
Definitely. Like, and just seeing like Jay-Z, Beyonce, and everyone's like, they're part of the Illuminati. Well, it's like, maybe they are, but also maybe they're just geniuses as well.
Yeah, I don't think people really know what they're talking about when they're saying things like Illuminati. Yeah. Like, define what that is.
Mm-hmm. It's wild. And something that's really crossed my mind recently on classified documents, what in it makes it classified? What's so bad that we can't know about? Because clearly, if it's classified, there's a reason why it's classified.
Yeah, and it might not be a bad thing, because sometimes truth, sometimes light, it can burn shit down. Just like if you're trying to grow a flower and you look at our civilization as a flower and a seedling and it's growing up and you have the sun, you need the right amount of water, you know, which could be emotions and feelings and things that drive us. You need soil, the earth. You need air and oxygen. The air is information. And then you need the right amount of sunlight. If you don't have the right, if you have too much sunlight, you have too much fire, then you can burn shit down. So too much truth at once can cause destruction. Just like when we're having a conversation, and if I was like, if I told you something about yourself that it might be true, but it's not going to help you. And it might hurt your feelings or burn it down. It's like, there's a way to do things with grace and love. And so, you know, my manager and I talk about this all the time, where you can be right and still be wrong. And that's the idea of truth, when like sometimes too much at once is harmful.
Wow. I never thought of it that way. Hell yeah. Well, I'm going to say this because that was such a perfect way to end the show. I feel like I just got to play one more Jaguar Twins song and call it a show after that. It's like, oh, we'll save those 3 minutes because that is the perfect last thought. So thank you so much for coming by the show. Once again, September 30th, 33 will be out. It's a sophomore album from Jaguar Twin. So much to the project. It's so much more than just music. It's a community. It's a new way of life in a way, and it's a way for yourself to reward yourself for being a fan of one of, well, I'm going to say one of my favorite artists. That sounds so selfish. One of the most gifted artists out there right now, who happens to be one of my favorite artists. So I can't wait to see another Jaguar Twin show. It's been since September 2019.
Yeah, the Avril tour was the last one.
Yeah. So I can't wait. I think you did some live stuff during COVID, right?
Something like
quote unquote live.
Yeah.
Internet live.
Yeah.
Hell yeah. Well, I can't wait for a show because, like I said, it's the most hyped up yet calm I've ever been after seeing anyone perform. And it's just an experience. It's more than just seeing a show. It's living an experience. I'll say that.
Thank you, my friend.
Hell yeah. So I want to play one more song from you. What song do you want that to be?
Let's roll it out on Happy Face.
I love that. Here is Happy Face by Jaguar Twin, 33, officially out on September 30th. Everyone check that out. If you're at Firefly next weekend, if you miss Jaguar Twin, I would say probably just ask for a refund because you fucked up your whole weekend. But here's Happy Face by Jaguar Twin. Here on Gone Fishkin. Oh.
don't like.